Visiting today with United Soybean Supply Action Chair Tom Oswald. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to catch up my brain after being in meetings the last few days.
Yeah, you guys just wrapped up your big July meeting. How'd it go?
You know, it went really well. And I think it's kind of hard to explain to farmers who aren't on these boards, but this is the first big meeting we've had, board meeting size, since February 2020 due to the COVID. And I think it went really well. Or, you know, we'd use some distancing and things of that nature. But most of the farmers, you know, farmers are pretty tough-minded people. And it was good interaction. I think one of the important things is, and I've long believed this, that farmers make a lot of decisions, mulling things over and kicking the dirt or the gravel. And we had the time to do that together as opposed to the Zoom environment where you're together, but you can't really think together. And that was one of the cool points of having the meeting together there in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, just kind of nice to be back together and be able to shake hands and hang out, huh?
Well, we did shake hands occasionally, sometimes elbow bumps, but yeah, that talking it out, it's very important.
Well, so how is the soybean crop right now? What are you hearing?
You know, that was very interesting. So supply action team chair, before we went into my section, the way the action teams work, about a third of the board is in each action team supply, marketplace, and demand. And as supply chair, I have roughly a third of the board. And before we did got into our actual meeting of our time, this meeting, it was kind of went around the room. And it's interesting, the range from, gosh, could use a lot more moisture, to use a lot less moisture, to things look pretty good. Here on my farm in Northwest Iowa, I'm up here in the Northwest area, about an hour from South Dakota, hour from Minnesota. Great land, but for our farm personally, it's the rains have been splitting. So you'd hear, you know, 10 miles away, a guy got 2 inches, and in our farm, we'd had 3/10 or something. So that frustration's been going on. June was pretty dry here. But for the most part, I think the crop looks good. There's a lot of optimism in the crop, but it's never ceases to amaze me how diverse north, south, east, west the soybean crop in the United States can be.
Absolutely. I mean, the weather's just kind of been all over the place because we're kind of seeing the same thing here in Oklahoma, where certain portions of the state get, you know, 6 inches of rain and then other people haven't had a drop, and it affects the crops badly.
Well, it can, yeah, that as well as I'm sure with the small grains and things, it can affect, you know, quality and everything else. And, you know, that's one of the things we do in soy is look at. So supply action team is about the farmer. You know, it's about, what are we doing at the national level to impact the farmers directly? And then marketplace and demand are about moving product, you know, interacting with customers, those type of things. So in supply, we're always looking at those type of projects that it's very likely a farmer will see personally. And that's kind of interesting to be part of that.
Well, speaking of that, so what are some of the biggest obstacles that you're seeing within the soy supply chain right now?
Well, first of all, we're seeing a lot of growth in high oleic potential of the demand, getting those beans out there on the farms. And that's one area where, for example, the non-GMO soy oleic is coming out. That's been bred up that allow farmers to grow, hopefully capture a nice premium for growing that better quality oil. Has a very wide demand, especially in the food industry and industrial in some aspects. So, you know, that's one of the areas we're looking at. So breeding, the way I like to say it is, the supply action team at the United Soybean Board is about growing beans better, you know, pests, weeds, you know, issues of stress, be that drought or flood, and many, many things of that nature, and growing better beans that people want. One of my friends from Arkansas years ago said, his daddy said, farming's about taking the sunlight, water, and some soil and growing something that hopefully people need or want. That's always kind of top of my mind. How do we farmers grow something that the marketplace wants? And we spend a lot of time thinking about that at the soybean board, because really it's all about putting money, you know, more money in the farmer's back pocket. How do we keep our farmers competitive in the thing?
I was going to agree with you because soybeans saw record plantings this year. So is that always a good sign for soy?
What I think is interesting is I think about the acreage. As you think about the United States again, and that's, again, one of the fascinating duties of serving on this board, is soybeans are everywhere. And I mean, basically east of the Rockies, if you will, but in that huge production region, they're everywhere. And about every farmer has a different need, you know, regionally. And we also interact at a regional level and with the states. It's kind of a complex. You also appreciate, I guess, how complex the soybean industry is. You think, well, it's just a little round bean that looks the same. And no, it's not. And that, again, is a very important thing we have to consider when we're looking at all these projects.
Well, I know another big project that we've got going here in Oklahoma is rural broadband. It's become such an important initiative, and you guys just wrapped up your broadband study. So what were some of the findings or takeaways that you heard about?
It's a lot larger area that needs improved broadband than what you think. I know personally I have good broadband here, but we have holes and problems.
Well, and I think mainly just the biggest issue is that COVID really put it in perspective for all of us that we kind of need to have good internet.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting discussion point. The COVID did force us as a board to operate in that Zoom environment. And you do appreciate the capacity issues. For some farmers, you know, it was like a crank telephone versus your cell phone, you know, and you don't think that's a real deal. Well, yeah, it is. And it'll get improved. And one of the things, I guess, we look at it from an important standpoint is how does the lack of rural broadband hamstring those farmers from maximizing their ability to utilize data, to utilize, you know, data exchange and in the midst of their farm management? I mean, if you're in a spot where you've got pretty good power to your house or to your farm relative to the pipe, if you will, it's not such a big deal, but for those it is, it's hard to believe. I know, like, for example, me, my GPS RTK correction comes via my cell phone, you know, into my tractor. And so if you didn't have good cell service, I couldn't utilize that capability. And I've become kind of addicted to autopilot.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I know right now the administration's really focused on conservation. So how are soybean producers kind of helping and doing their part with this?
The conservation area, I've been active in the conservation arena quite a while personally, and we know, actually one of the speakers that we had yesterday was talking about the grocery industry, and whether you like it or not, I mean, we could talk politics, but whether you like it or not, the world is thinking about sustainability, which is, you know, kind of that new iteration of conservation that started back in the 30s, let's say. Everyone wants to know, is this product going into the food chain sustainably produced? We in the United States believe very strongly, we in the soy United States believe very strongly that we fit very well in those asks, if you will, that are coming from the food chain. And that's not to say it's easy or perfected yet. We know that it'll evolve, that there will be, you know, needs to have that accountability that they're expecting. You know, our lands are well protected, and sustainability includes not only the land, it can, you know, land, water, it's about the people. You know, we don't think about it, but in that arena, again, whether it's conserving the soil quality, carbon, but also people, there's a lot of interest in how are the people taken care of. Well, for U.S. soybean producers, you know, we're mostly family farmers, and so we don't think about that element. But some of the competitors around the world may have primarily hired labor, and there's a lot of people looking at it. Are you treating your people right? Well, hopefully our families are treating each other right, although we can argue.
Depends on the day, know, right?
that's an interfamilies, you know, but you understand the dynamics of that. But if you have a number of hired folks working, are you treating them right? This is all in that mix, along with are you treating the soil right, that is coming down the pike, and you hope to keep it reasonable. That's one of the goals, the way I look at it. And so from a checkoff standpoint, you want to look at it as how do we have the research in place that allows farmers to grow soybean sustainably, thus fitting that ask, if you will, that's coming in from the food chain. It's not such a heavy lift. I think we're on the right track there.
Well, you guys had a great meeting last week. So what are you excited about going forward, Tom?
One of the things I'm excited about is the high oleic is a big deal. The demand for high oleic. We're hearing a lot about biodiesel, biofuel demand. We think we fit very well in that space because the footprint of soy is very good. The process is very good. Of course, there's, again, always politics, but that's not our gig, you know, politics. is the American Soybean Association side of things. Those things are looking very good. Again, the crop looks good for the people looking to buy our crop. And again, the diversity north, south, east, west is incredible. And getting together with those farmers to talk about it was a great thing.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.